Broadcasting live. I'm not even doing it today. It's my last day without trailing. I'm going to enjoy this.
No, come on. We got to ask Chad what the second greatest planet, or what the first greatest planet in the solar system is. We know what the second greatest planet is.
Yeah, Chad. Trey introduces every show by saying broadcasting live from the greatest city, in the greatest state, in the greatest country, on the second greatest planet in the universe.
Ooh, interesting.
Any thoughts on what could be ahead of Earth? Because I feel like we got it figured out a little bit down.
I don't have a lot of knowledge about planets outside of our solar system, but if we're speaking inside the solar system, I think the rings give Saturn an opportunity to jump into that discussion, right?
I always figured Trey is a Uranus type of guy.
Well,
I mean,
that's
his nickname was Boner for a while.
That is an interesting theory I had not thought of. I'm going to go with either Saturn or Jupiter, but those are always two of my favorites.
There's got to be something we're not thinking of.
I'm telling you, I think it's Chicago. I think he considers Chicago a planet, and that's what he's going off of.
Back in the day, Daryl Dawkins always said he was from Planet Lovetron, so maybe it's Planet Lovetron.
Planet Lovetron.
Yeah, Daryl Dawkins, wow. The Chocolate Thunder.
Yeah.
Named all his dunks, and he always claimed that he was from the Planet Lovetron.
Planet Lovetron.
So I'm going to go with Lovetron is the best planet in the universe.
That's like Terrell Suggs saying he went to Ball So Hard University.
Exactly.
T-Sizzle, Ball So Hard U every Sunday night.
I am still looking for that T-shirt. The Ball So Hard volleyball, or, you know, Ball So Hard baseball. That's what I want.
That's got to be out there somewhere.
I would hope so.
Oh, my goodness. That is the great Chad Hastings filling in today. One half of the Afternoons with Chad and Kevin show here on the Horn. I believe he is the Chad half, but we'll get that confirmed at some point.
I think that's confirmed. Okay. Very, very good. You have done your homework, my friend.
I'm not a smart cat.
You are researching this.
I got the internet going right here, although it's not working very well at all. I'm actually struggling today, but I've been looking you guys up a little bit, man. You'll do a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I believe this is Chad that's sitting in today, and you had Kevin yesterday.
Kevin yesterday, who said he was also the Chad half of the show, so now I'm really confused.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what threw you off. Okay. So now that you've actually sat across from us for 15 seconds or longer, even though sometimes people say our voices, they can sometimes get confused.
I could see that.
We are different people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to tell us apart.
In just about every way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Like, you know, when Kevin sits, when Kevin walks into a room, women in that room notice. When I walk into a room, women in that room cover their feet.
Oh, yeah.
That is what happens.
That's true.
That's the difference.
You got to watch the feet.
Because now I have a rep as having a foot fetish.
Is that still a thing, foot fetish?
They claim it's a thing. I through years of counseling, will tell you it's not. But
years of counseling.
You know, what are you going to do?
It's all right. Everybody's got their
day at a time.
Yeah, day at a time.
Or as I say, one toe at a time.
You got like a little black book or something for your feet fetish?
That's right.
One of those?
It's actually a little black shoe.
Is it like a Dr. Scholl's gel-covered shoe deal?
Don't say gel inserts. I could do an hour on gel inserts.
Ooh, I'm kind of curious. We might save that for a little bit later in the show. That is Chad Hastings in for Trey. Trey Elling will be back on Monday. Enjoying a little time in Chicago. Drink up. I guess it might be his favorite planet, but been there with his family. Trey will be back on Monday. Excited for that. Our man Zach Christo, the Greek Freak, the production wizard, back behind the glass as always. And we'll be rocking and rolling from 11 to 1 right here on the Horn. Plenty to talk about today. Of course, we got some Texas football. 50 days out, Chad, from Texas, Maryland.
There we go.
The countdown begins. 50 is a good number, right? I mean, anytime you're saying 62... 69, nice, 77, whatever you're throwing out there, not that cool. But once you get to 50, kind of feels like we're getting close.
Yeah, that's always good. I love to get the countdowns going way too early, but yeah, now we're into the realistic part because today is 50 for Texas. It's, you know, 55 for the NFL opener and 58 until I get to have the red zone experience on the first NFL Sunday. So now we're getting into those numbers where I feel like people driving around, they aren't just hearing the number and thinking, okay, Chad, stop saying high numbers.
Right.
Now you're at 50 days. Nice round number at 50, and you got media days cranking up on Monday. So once, you know, SEC's now done, ACC's doing again going today, that's the next sign, you know, that signpost that tells you season is on the way, summer is rolling, but we can see what's coming, right? We know that at the end of this month, teams will have reported to training camp in the NFL, and by the end of this month and right at the beginning of next month, depending on what your team is, guys are reporting for fall camp. And then here we go. And then it all starts with who looks good in fall camp. Can you avoid key injuries? Rolling towards the season. And yeah, man, 50 days away, Tom Herman in Texas trying to get it back to where it needs to be.
In the words of Bart Scott, can't wait.
And, right, exactly.
We've got some ACC Media Days. We'll get to some interesting audio from Florida State head coach Jimbo Fisher. I know you and Kevin talked about this a little bit today, but maybe for the lunchtime crowd who missed what Jimbo had to say, I don't want to call it controversial, but raised some eyebrows across the college football landscape. But also got to mention, yeah, we're 50 days away from Texas, Maryland, and Florida State, Alabama, and Florida, Michigan, a lot of those big opening week games. Chad, we're only 43 days away from college football. People forget that last Saturday in August when you've got the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which I definitely want to get your take on some of the nonsense that's going on with this world tour.
Oh, yeah.
But there's five or six games that are going on August 26th. You've got Stanford playing Rice in Australia. You've got that random Pac-12.
All right.
Larry Scott trying to expand the Pac-12 across the world deal.
That's one of those games that'll be really cool at kickoff, but I'm guessing about 4 minutes after kickoff, it's going to be like an NFL preseason game, and you'll go, oh, I do need to mow the lawn.
The Rice Owls, David Bailiff and company going down there. And that's the 9 o'clock game. That's the night game, so that's the one people are going to be hopefully watching the fight in front of that. But
of course,
the best game that day is probably Oregon State, Colorado State, which are, you know, two teams you've heard of. There's, there's a lot of random teams and random games that you wouldn't care a whole lot about. But it is football. It is college football.
If you tried to make me care about that in October, you'll get nowhere.
Right.
But that day, sure.
So 43 days away from the first college football, but of course Texas Longhorn football 50 days away. A reminder, Bucky and Aaron will be up in Frisco at Big 12 Media Days live next Monday and Tuesday. And of course all the shows on the Horn will have that coverage. We should do this right now, Zach, because I forgot yesterday for like the third time this week. We've got one of these Dave Campbell's Texas football magazines to give away. The one with the Tom Herman mastermind cover on the front.
How about that?
And we'll just do this real quick. I'm done with trivia. I don't want to steal Bucky and Aaron's bit. So just first call. Whoever calls Zach at 447-3776. We've got two pairs to give away. We'll do one this hour and one in the 12 o'clock hour. Of course, Chad and Kevin will be giving another set away today.
We got two more today.
There you go. So two more. So four chances to win today. Call Zach right now, 447-3776. All right, Chad, we've got tennis on right now. Man,
we do. Mr. Federer in the semis,
and I'm glad that there is another big time tennis fan at the station, because you know, a lot of the guys here don't care too much about
It's kind of a taboo topic sometimes.
But Roger Federer playing right now, and boy, he was up 4-2 a little bit earlier in this set, now down 5-4, serving to try to even this first set up at 5.
Yeah, they're on serve here, so we'll see if Raj can hang on and keep it on serve. But yeah, this is the one major every year where no other big-time sport gets in the way. Baseball cranks back up tonight. You get a couple matches at the U.S. Open where you're in the middle of the week and football's not going on. But this is the one tournament a year that I think you're allowed on sports radio every once in a while to you pepper things in. I'm a big Roger Federer fan. He does hold to make it 5-all in the first set. And the stat I threw out yesterday, I still can't believe. Roger, when he wins the first two sets at a Grand Slam, is like 254-2 all time. So, obviously, the start is critical for him at 35 years old. He doesn't need to get dragged into five-set matches. So, the key here is, can he get the first set? Even better, could he get the first couple sets? Keep that court time down. And earlier, Cilic finished off the other semi, right?
He did, in four sets.
Cilic has beaten Federer at a Grand Slam at the U.S. Open on his way to his one win and at the U.S. Open a couple years ago. So don't chalk up Federer's 19th just yet. He's got to get through this work. He's playing great, but Cilic could get him. So we'll see what happens here. But yeah, we'll watch that. Venus going for her next for another Wimbledon, which we didn't think she would get tomorrow.
Yeah, how about that? Venus Williams has not won a Grand Slam since 07, Chad.
Yeah, I think it was 08 Wimbledon.
08, okay.
08 maybe?
I don't know. I heard 07. I'll do a little double-check me on news on here.
I think she won 08 Wimbledon.
Okay, that's still ridiculous. I mean, obviously her sister has taken over the sport of women's tennis, but
right.
It kind of feels like been sooner than that.
Venus has been stuck on 7 for a long time. She is 37 years old, if people don't know. I mean, in that world, that is ancient. Plus, Venus has dealt with some physical things and health issues that Serena has not. A couple years ago, that autoimmune condition that she got, I mean, it just rocked her world, and it certainly took her down the rankings where she just didn't have the stamina to stay out there. And it's still important for her at 37 to keep points short. Venus has to play short points to be successful. The girl she's playing tomorrow has only won, I looked it up today, just a couple tournaments, not Grand Slams, two or three tournaments at all in her career. So Venus needs to handle this one. This girl's from Venezuela. This is an opportunity where she doesn't have to play one of the elite players. Still pretty good, but She's won this thing five times. This should be her deal tomorrow morning.
No doubt about it. And Fed going for his 19th Grand Slam title, 8th at Wimbledon, of course. He's got to get to the finals first. It's 5-5 right. with him and Tomas Berdych. But, by the way, the American Sam Querrey, you mentioned that Marin Cilic advancing to the
Querrey
finals.
Lost.
Querrey won the first set, but eventually lost in four. A great match earlier this morning,
Sam,
if you missed
Sam's
it.
Sam's the upset guy that hadn't been able to finish. He upset Djokovic last year, but couldn't finish
right.
it. And he upsets, obviously, you got Murray this year. Couldn't quite finish it off. And Sam is, you know...
We need an American, Chad.
We need
for people to care even a little bit about this sport.
You're right.
We need an American.
First American semifinalist since local great Andy Roddick in 09.
Which, did you hear that story from Brooklyn Decker, Andy Roddick's wife?
No.
Apparently, Brooklyn went on vacation somewhere.
Okay.
And while she was gone, Andy Roddick got rid of all of his trophies. Like, almost all of his tennis trophies. Moved them out of the house.
Come on, A-Rod?
Yeah. Come on, I still got like my fifth grade trophies in my place.
Me too. Wait a minute.
I'm getting rid of those.
Including the U.S. Open title?
Apparently he left a couple. So you got to assume he left the big stuff, but he's not even displaying those anymore. Like he just put them in the garage or something.
Come on, Andy.
What's he doing?
Come on, Andy.
Is that humble or is that just ridiculous, man?
I mean, everybody's got their own thing. What I'm hoping is if he moved them, that's one thing. I don't believe guys like that need to be selling those things. We don't need that. I mean, Roddick's not like, you know, he's not all-time top five or anything like that, but he was number one in the world at one point. He's won a Grand Slam. Guys like that shouldn't be selling their trophies. Years and years ago, Bjorn Borg got in financial trouble and started selling his stuff, and John McEnroe wouldn't have it, and McEnroe got a bunch of tennis guys together, and they bought them back and handed them back to Bjorn Borg and said, you're Bjorn Borg. You keep those. I don't care if you put them in your garage, but nobody gets your trophies but you. So if Andy wanted to stuff them in the garage or a man cave or something, I get it.
How about that? That's good stuff right there. So tennis on the brain a little bit. And you said, and people are going to text in. You're talking tennis. Well, there's really nothing else going on.
They'll flip out, but I'm sure we'll talk football and all kinds of stuff.
All right. So I did mention this earlier. This McGregor-Mayweather fight, of course, is coming up August 26th. Now, there's a lot of people on both sides of the fence on this thing. I'm seeing reports that this might be the most watched or most purchased pay-per-view event of all time.
Yeah, it could be.
And I'm hearing everybody else say, oh, it's going to be a sham. I'm not spending a dime on this fight. It's a dude who's never even played this sport going up against one of the greatest of all time. So as a fight fan like you are, you know, what's your take on this fight? And then we'll get into this craziness of the world tour that's been going on.
I think it's
going
to be the circus part has been good so far overall. The fight is interesting to me because it is true that Conor hasn't had a boxing match, but you can't say he doesn't box. Somebody this week asked him, clearly a boxing and a boxing media member, said, when you guys train MMA, do you train any boxing at all? And I thought, what an insulting question. So the idea has always been, if you go into the cage with an MMA guy and you're a boxer, he or she has too many tools, they can do too many things to you, you'll get kneed in the head and it's over, or you'll get submitted and it's over, like we saw with James Toney and Randy Couture. Those guys were also really old. James Toney was way past the prime at that moment. This is a guy who today turns 29. Happy birthday to Conor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he'll say the same to himself at the presser today. So he's at 29 in his prime, only guy ever to have two belts in their world, and he is not known as a submission specialist. He's not known as a wrestling guy that can't punch. This guy can strike. He's got a good left hand. He's got... known as a submission specialist. He's not known as a wrestling guy that can't punch. This guy can strike. He's got a good left hand. He's going to have a little reach advantage on Floyd. He's got a little bit of a height advantage on Floyd. So the question is, and I've never seen this in my life to know the answer. That's the beauty of August 26th for me and why I'm buying this pay-per-view every time.
Yeah.
The $100 will be spent, even if I have to pay all of it. If nobody shows up to my house, I'm buying it and watching this thing. I'm going to try to get people to show up. You're invited, by the way.
Thank you, bro.
So... the idea, though, is when he gets in there with Floyd under Floyd's rules, does he have enough boxing acumen? The idea is boxers will punch harder, they'll punch more accurately, and they'll just be better.
Mm-hmm.
So my gut on the fight is still Floyd wins the fight, but I do think that Conor could end up with a round or two, and I think Conor survives the whole fight.
So you think it's a decision, not a knockout?
I do. I dare Floyd Mayweather to knock Conor McGregor out because that's not what he does. He knocked out Ruiz in 2011, but that's when Ruiz wanted to hug him too much. And some people think that's a cheap shot. He did knock out Ricky Hatton in 07. So it's been 10 years.
Those are his last two knockouts.
Those are the last two knockouts
he's got. 26
he's
in his career, but a lot of them were relatively early on, and now people knock him all the time for being a dodger, if you will, more of a finesse type guy in the ring.
Those other 23 are, yeah, later on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't get me wrong. I respect the hell out of what Floyd Mayweather does in the ring. He is an incredible defensive fighter. When you watch replays during rounds, the way he can do that shoulder roll thing and avoid punches and still the way he can punch and get back to a defensive position in the blink of an eye to not allow you to cause any damage is phenomenal. I have to give that credit over what I think Conor can do. But, Brad.
There's a but.
If Conor McGregor can turn this into, if he messes with his mind enough, which I think he's doing with this press tour, and he can turn this into a wild Irish bar fight where he is unconventional, weird stances. Conor fights, if you've never seen him, he has this one stance that looks like the Notre Dame mascot. That guy.
Yeah, with the one arm higher, the put him up, sing
right.
him up.
Like the old, yeah, exactly.
Deal, right?
You think, I'll put up your dukes, we're fighting for Harana.
There
it's like
is.
You're in the 40s or something. He can do that. He's got all these different stances. The MMA person is asking this question. Is boxing so specialized that Floyd doesn't have the tools? He's got some tools, but does Conor actually have more tools in terms of he's got this stance, he's got that stance, he's got this defense, he can do this? You know, I I'm leaning towards Floyd, but by the time we get there, I just think a lot of people are going to have to watch. It's going to be a show. I would imagine it has to be better than Mayweather-Pacquiao.
It's hard to be worse than that,
has
right?
Has to be better than that. Because Manny showed us that because of injury and whatever has happened to him over the last few years, he didn't want to throw.
Yeah.
But that's late in his career, Manny Pacquiao. This is Conor McGregor, who, let me say this clearly, loves to fight. That's another difference between these two guys. I feel like Floyd fights well. I feel like he's a really good boxer. Conor loves to fight. Conor's one of those guys that gets the blood, tastes his own blood, and thinks, okay, now let's go.
Right.
I mean, those fights with him and Nate Diaz were just crazy. I mean, he loves to do it.
Now,
so
I have been watching some of these videos though, these training videos are out there, and it looks like one guy's been boxing his whole life, and one
right.
guy, you know, once again, you said it. Conor McGregor is obviously boxed. That's a big part of MMA fighting, but it's a clear discrepancy.
But can he do it at this level?
Right.
Can he do it at this level?
So we will see. By the way, that suit that Conor McGregor rocked on day one of this world tour with
How
the pinstripes that said bleep you.
Right.
Like, are those open to the public? Can
the
I buy
F
those?
You pinstripes.
You kidding me?
He says coming up in August, he is going to have a clothing line. And
oof.
I would imagine if you would like to get that suit, I'm guessing that suit will be available.
It's going to be a pretty penny.
Yeah,
I am
right.
sure.
I'm guessing it will not cost like $95.
So Conor McGregor has won the trash talk, though. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, this world tour, which will wrap up today in London.
Yes.
Fourth stop of four in 4 days. Conor McGregor, he's making this pretty entertaining. Whether you're not going to watch the fight or you are, this world tour has been pretty good stuff.
It is clearly, to me, two press conferences to one right now, if you want to score it like rounds. I've heard people call the second press conference a 10-8, maybe even a 10-7 or 10-6 round for Conor. He clearly dominated the first two. I thought yesterday he kind of gave one away, and I don't know if he was just bored or whatever, but the way he dressed I thought was bad because he'd been in suits.
From like a robe? Like a polar bear robe or something?
Don't make fun. You can't make fun of Floyd Mayweather for wearing a tracksuit and then wear like David Lee Roth's pants.
Yeah.
And a polar bear jacket and do what he did. So I thought he kind of half-assed it yesterday. Floyd won it. Floyd wasn't great. The whole thing, throwing the money up and calling him a stripper and a hoe and all these things, I don't quite get where he's going. He's just kind of going with the machismo. I'm going to call you the B word. I'm going to call you a hoe and a stripper. And that's supposed to be...
It's like middle school trash talk.
Yeah. The thing that he's focused on, too, that's fight-wise, is quitter. Conor's lost three fights by submission.
Mm-hmm.
And boxers don't have a concept of what that means.
Right, they don't have that.
They don't have it, so he can call him a quitter and say, I've never quit. He's obviously never lost, so he's never quit. But boxing has a different way of quitting, right? You throw in the towel, or you could tell your corner man, you know, if your corner man asks, hey, what day is it? And you say, you know, Steve, they can say, look, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a different version of quitting.
Right.
So he's done that. Yesterday's was a disappointment. Today, in London... And Conor's clearly the baby face in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The crowds have hated Floyd every city.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, they gave Floyd the boring chant at one point. All 3 days, they have chanted, pay your taxes, without Conor telling them to. Conor does not start it. All three cities, pay your taxes.
People hate Floyd. I mean, they really do. So. He's a pretty terrible human being, based off the allegations of wife beating and the fact that he can't pay his taxes. Dude, can't read.
Right. You have that. You have just all the money, the fact that he keeps reminding you how much money he makes.
Right, yeah. He's got money in his backpack. He pulls out these checks that he just hasn't cashed.
Lack of humility.
And then McGregor says, well, you got a school bag, you can't even read, which I thought was maybe the sound bit of the of the world tour so far.
That's been the moment. But, it's a lack of humility for Floyd. Mm-hmm. I hope that even if he doesn't win the fight, I hope Connor can maybe punch some humility into Floyd. I just don't know how many clean punches he can land, because the whole time I've been watching Floyd, I haven't seen every fight he's ever been in, but I've seen a few. I can remember just a couple times where somebody really makes good contact. I'll admit, those two Maidana fights, I don't think I watched either one of those live, but I know in the first Maidana fight, he really attacked Floyd, and that was a split decision. Majority decision or whatever. So there have been guys to get to him a little bit. I just don't know if Connor, who again hasn't trained specifically in boxing all this time, can he land clean shots on Floyd? Man, I don't know.
This is a big fight for boxing, because if McGregor wins this thing, I mean, Mayweather is really all that boxing has right now, it kind of feels like, in terms of big names. I mean, Pacquiao is still there, but he's past his prime, and he just kind of got rigged out of a decision a couple of weeks ago. But if McGregor comes in, I mean, I'm a big boxing fan. I'm a fan of the concept, Chad, but I'm only 23 years old. I never got to see the Alis and the Frasers and the George Foreman, even the Holyfield and the Tysons.
Yeah, you missed the Tyson
stuff, all that
too,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
sad. All when I was super young. I don't remember any of that. So I've been waiting for boxing to have some sort of comeback. When you have decisions like you had with the Horn-Pacquiao fight, it kind of feels like the whole thing is rigged or scripted
terrible.
Or something
yeah,
right now. So, this isn't even a real, I don't even know if you can call this a real boxing match, technically.
This one's weird, and then whatever happens here, the next thing, obviously, is the Triple G Canelo fight.
That's the one that
in September.
That's the one that we need to watch, right?
That could be interesting. Now, the thing is, I think Triple G is going to dominate that fight. He's 35 years old, Brad. The problem with boxing is they don't give him good enough fights. They build their records up to the 30s, and he's 33-0, he's 36-0, and it's like, right, but has he fought anybody? Is he any good? Like, well, yeah, he's this old. They get into their 30s, they have undefeated records, but you haven't seen him a lot. It's a weird deal. It's big for boxing. Boxing people need to be able to stand up after that fight and have Floyd just dominate Connor and say, yeah, see? But my question is, for boxing, true boxing purists, do they need a knockout? Floyd's predicted it, but come on, Floyd's never going to predict, I'm going to win by the judges. So, but that's what he does. That was the moment I heard the Pacquiao fight announced, I knew that would be the decision. And that's what I said when I heard this fight. I said, well, Floyd's going to outpoint him.
Right.
Of course, he's going to beat him. I said, at this point, I'd probably say you start at 12 rounds to none and then just see what Connor can get.
Sure.
Because judges are crazy.
Judges are crazy.
Swing your arms, Connor. We learned that from Horn, right?
Just do something.
Don't connect. Just swing your arms, and the judges may give you a round or two.
What a mistake. All right. Yeah. Tucker on the line to either weigh in on this fight or tell us that we need to talk about something else. What's up, Tucker?
Hey, what's going on? No, I was talking about the fight. I mean, you guys are just a couple things that you guys are kind of disrespecting Floyd. You're like, does Floyd have the tools? He has tools. He has every tool in the book. He's been fighting since he was 5 years old when his dad threw him in the backyard with cousins. I mean, to think that that McGregor's stance or any trash talking is going to throw Floyd off his game, it's never going to happen. I've been watching him. I hate the guy. He's a woman beater. He's not a good dude. I'm a black guy. He doesn't do anything for the black community. I'm not a fan of the man. But as a pure boxer, the guy is incredible. Even at 40, I just can't see any way, unless he catches them with some perfect left hand right on the chin, that this fight goes any other way but domination. And I will say this one more thing. As a boxing purist, I don't need a knockout. I just need to see, because that's a big man in McGregor. I just need to see him bruised up and battered up, maybe a couple cut eyes, bleeding from the nose and the mouth and stuff like that, and that'll be satisfying to me. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, Tucker.
That's a great call,
Tucker. Yeah, perfect call. And look, I'm on the side. I think Mayweather's got this thing. I am watching for the slim chance, like you mentioned, Tucker, the less than 1% chance it may be that McGregor lands one ridiculous punch and just catches Mayweather off guard.
Tucker brings up the best point of the fight in terms of Mayweather. You can dog him all you want for the kind of person he is, for the off the out of the ring, all that.
Off the ring, whatever it is. Yeah.
He brings up a great point of what he does or doesn't do for the community. But if you've watched him work, you cannot disrespect the way he works. Tucker, you're absolutely right. And I didn't mean that in terms of, I'm not dogging his tools. What I'm saying there is we've never seen a high-level MMA guy get in there with a boxer mm-hmm. and throw him a lot of weird stances, a lot of weird stuff, and just to see what happens. See if he can mess with Floyd a little bit. I agree with Tucker. It's hard to mess with Floyd Mayweather. He's so calm, cool, collected.
He's not smart enough to even understand what you're saying.
In the ring. Oh, he's boxing smart, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the
49-0. I mean, he's 49-0. Say what you will about him skating around or running around, avoiding stuff. The dude knows what he's doing in the ring.
Connor's best punch is that left hand, and I'm the one punch, based on how Floyd fights, the one punch I don't think you can hit him with is a good left hand. Mm-hmm. I just think he defends it so well. That's what would have made the Pacquiao fight great at the right time, because Pacquiao's left, oh my God, he threw it at about 20 different angles. He would throw punch combinations that were crazy. He just stopped doing it at some point. So can Connor throw some good combinations? And like Tucker's, can he cause damage and get away before Floyd gets him? It's a weird little fight, and what you said about boxing judges, again, makes it interesting, too. Never assume that you know what a boxing judge thinks. They are, a lot of times, older folks. They're in their 50s, they're in their 60s, they're in their 70s. They don't get to watch replays, and they don't get to look at stats.
There you go.
It is an antiquated system of how to judge that sport, and I'm telling you, if there's a round where Floyd just takes it off, not, you know, just kind of takes it off and he's up 3-4 rounds to none or something and takes a round off, if Connor swings his arms enough, some weird old dude, you know, is gonna give it to him.
Yeah, maybe it's time for instant replay. I'm talking about like automated strike zones in baseball. Can we at least let these guys watch the replay of these fights so they know what the hell they're doing?
Right, but I agree with Tucker. I think Floyd wins this thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be definitive by the end, but I do think it's a decision.
There we go. I'll be spending my money on it too. Hopefully not $100. I might join you at your little watch party.
That's right. That's where we're inviting people out. You want to get in on the split, man? If I can get 9 guys to at least say they like me for a night, that's $10
a piece.
There
you go. Absolutely. So that wraps up a first segment of tennis and boxing. Who would have thought Roger Federer takes the first set against Beard at 7-6?
There we go,
with
Fed.
The tiebreak.
Come on, Fed.
Coming back, our man Zach Christo behind the glass will lead us through Tinder Time. We'll hit some of the other sports topics of the day. I promise we will talk some college football, some Texas football. We'll get to it. Don't go anywhere. It's Midday with Trey and BK. Chad Hastings filling in for Trey. This is The Horn. Welcome back. Midday with Trey and BK on the horn. Chad Hastings, nice enough to fill in for Trey today. Trey in Chicago, been there all week. We'll be back on Monday. So having some fun on a Friday, watching a little bit of Wimbledon tennis and talking about it during the break. But, hey, a couple of programming notes, I should say. I mentioned earlier that Bucky and Aaron will be in Frisco for Big 12 Media Days Monday and Tuesday. But we got some good weekend stuff going on the horn. The Big Ugly Outdoors, Casey Studdard and Lyle Sendline. They'll be out at Falcon Head tomorrow, 7 to 9 a.m. Listen to that. They do a great job breaking down Texas football and all things outdoors. And they just have a good time, man. I produced that show for a little bit. Those are two jabronis if I've ever seen it. And then, of course, 0900 with Colonel Craig Flowers tomorrow, the second episode ever. He's going to have NFL Hall of Fame offensive lineman Gary Zimmerman.
Nice.
Zim's coming on the show a little bit
tomorrow.
Very cool. So check that out if you've got some free time on a Saturday morning.
And did I hear Aaron write today that the Big Uglies are out at the Cole Pittman
Golf
Tournament,
The Cole Pittman
Golf
Tournament, huh?
That's going to be so...
Teed up for Cole.
That's a great deal. And obviously, rest in peace to Cole Pittman. Mm-hmm. That game that marked... where they paid tribute to him still will be in my mind forever, and I know a lot of Longhorn fans' minds forever. But a lot of guys will be at that tournament and come on and talk to them. That should be a lot of fun. Casey and Lyle talking to a lot of former Longhorns. That's cool.
Yeah, we had B.J. Johnson came on a little bit earlier to talk about it. The 9th annual Teed Up for Cole golf tournament at Falcon Head. So there's some good stuff there. We've got a little bit of breaking news right here, Zach. It's...
Breaking news.
So this one is true. We know this one is true. There's a second piece of breaking news that we're not sure is true. We're still trying to iron out the details.
Uh-huh. Do we need a fake breaking news sounder?
A fake news? Do we have a fake news deal?
You could do the sounder and then Trump saying fake news. Or someone saying fake news.
I think, or if we could just get someone to perform the sounder, maybe using a kazoo or something, that might be good.
Kazoo.
That could be
about
silly.
Those guys. So yes. The breaking news that we do have... New York Yankees pitcher Michael Pineda diagnosed with a UCL tear and is going to need Tommy John surgery.
Wow.
Of course, the Yankees having a really solid year. They lost their hold over the AL East, but they're still in the first wild card spot as Major League Baseball resumes tonight. Mm-hmm. Yankees are actually playing the Red Sox this weekend. But a huge blow. Michael Pineda having a great year for the Bronx Bombers and could be out for the season, could be out for a while. He is going to get a second opinion, but for right now, Brian Cashman, the Yankees GM, did say that. So that is not fake news.
Yeah. A, that sucks for them. I hate to see that. Any kind of serious injury like that where you need the surgery. But on the positive side, God bless Tommy John surgery because it has done some amazing work. And when are we going to put Dr. James Andrews into every Hall of Fame?
Unbelievable. That dude deserves a statue in front of every ballpark.
Every Hall of Fame, he's got to get in at some point.
What happens when that guy dies? Like, can anybody else do these surgeries or is it only him?
I'm hoping there's been some training going on.
I don't know, he does every single one.
I'm hoping he's been teaching a couple guys or a couple ladies to fish over the years.
Is there more than one Dr. James Andrews? Are we just getting duped? There's like 40 of these guys across the country who only know how to do Tommy John.
He's awesome. He's incredible. Yeah, best of luck for Pineda there. That sucks to hear.
Yeah.
This time of year, it's supposed to be about adding players
right
at the deadline, and you forget about those moments where it's like, oh, you could lose a big-time guy.
Sure. The Yankees obviously ahead of schedule on their rebuild, which is weird to say regarding the New York Yankees because they're always the team, like you said, at the deadline, adding pieces and spending huge money over the offseason. And they kind of traded a lot of guys last year, including one of the Rangers. That one didn't work out too well. And, you know, built through the farm. Of course, they got Aaron Judge, who's going to be rookie the year, maybe MVP. They've got Gary Sanchez and a ton of young pieces to build around. Michael Pineda was one of those guys, and that'll stunt the development of that team for a little bit. So you've got that, and I'm sure, you know, you guys know I don't look at the text line anymore. Maybe Chad's got it pulled up, but I don't care about you listeners out there. So
I do have it pulled up if you need it.
Has anybody said anything regarding Zeke Elliott? Is anybody dying to hear about this stuff? I feel like at this point somebody has heard the rumors.
I haven't seen it.
So there's been rumors about this for a while, but they're starting to surface a little bit more today. Apparently there was an ESPN update sent out, and I'm seeing this from Chat Sports, which does have a blue check on Twitter. Now, they are saying that Adam Schefter has reported this, but Adam Schefter, Shifty Schefter, fellow member of the tribe and a former Sammy, which is the fraternity I was in, nothing but love and respect for Schefter.
All right.
I haven't seen this on his Twitter, but there's a report out there that Ezekiel Elliott, of course, of the Dallas Cowboys, is expecting to receive a short suspension as a result of the NFL's domestic violence investigation that I could have sworn was dead and put to rest a long time ago after there was no evidence found in the courtroom and he was pretty much found not guilty, kind of let off the hook for all this stuff. But the NFL is still investigated, and King Roger Goodell apparently might be throwing down a suspension to Ezekiel Elliott in the coming days, weeks, hours, minutes, no idea.
Yeah, this feels like there may be new information that the league has gotten. I'm just reading this. It says, appears the NFL does have some evidence that something happened between the two, as in he was accused of beating a woman who he'd had a relationship with in July of 2016 in Columbus, Ohio. They said they wouldn't file charges, and then eventually the NFL did say, yeah, that he was clean. Elliott provided some kind of proof that the woman asked a friend to lie about it, so they had a little bit of he said, she said, and maybe some of that, but now they're saying they may have evidence that something did happen between the two of them. The system, Brad, is supposed to, the league's policy requires a 6-game suspension, but this story brings up that when kicker Josh Brown got his suspension after admitting to years of abusing his wife, he got a game.
A game.
So,
and Ray Rice, what did Ray Rice eventually get? He originally got nothing.
Initially, it was 2.
Okay. I thought it was like originally nothing, and then they like re-looked at it. Then it was 2.
Right. They went to 2 pre-video.
Okay.
Remember, and then the video came out, and then he got cut.
Right. That was pretty much the end of
then it.
Regardless
of
what the NFL did, no one was taking the fire on that guy.
Release done, whatever. Yeah. Some people needed to see the actual video. The description of it wasn't good enough for them. They needed to see the video on that one. This could be yet another suspension issue that the Cowboys might have to deal with
so,
in 2017.
Absolutely, which we've seen a lot. So Adam Schefter did actually tweet out a video 8 minutes ago. So I checked.
Right.
I checked a little bit earlier, and it's a video. So, but the headline is, growing sense, Elliott faces short suspension.
Okay.
So you hear short, you don't think it's going to be 6 games. You assume 1 or 2?
Yeah, probably a 2.
And the Cowboys have some depth at running back. Of course, they've got Darren McFadden, but obviously Ezekiel Elliott is a stud. One of the top 3 players in the NFL, top 3 running backs, I should say, in the NFL. That impacts a lot of fantasy players, of course, potentially, and, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. Well, you had a number you mentioned before the show, Chad, of the number of suspensions the Dallas Cowboys have faced. Now, it's usually guys on the defensive line or in the linebacker spot, but...
Right, a lot of defensive guys.
What a mess.
Since 2014, 100 games of suspension have been served by Dallas Cowboys.
Exciting stuff.
Crazy.
All right, we've got to get to... I almost forgot about this. We got to get to our man, Zach C., behind the glass. It is Tinder time. Sponsor... Oh, we do have one.
You know it.
Uh-oh. I don't have the copy in front of me, but I do know it's Allstat Beer. Check them out. Allstat Beer. All your local chains, your HEBs, your Total Wine, your Specs, your Whole Foods at your favorite spots on Rainy Street and in downtown Austin. Allstat Beer. It is great stuff. I highly recommend it. So, Tinder time, Chad. You're new to the program, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the popular dating app that you don't use. You're married, happily married.
I am married. I could never date with social media. It would freak me out.
Yeah, it freaks me out, too. But yeah. Tinder pulls up a picture of a significant other, whoever you're interested in, and you swipe right to potentially find out more information about
swipe
the person.
Swipe right is positive.
And swipe left is, not so much, not so fast, my friend, in the words of the great Lee Corso.
Gotcha.
I think he's still speaking English. So, in the sports radio version, I'm sorry.
That's rude.
It's not Lou Holtz.
The man had a stroke. He needs to be gone. It's not his fault they're still putting him on TV.
Why are they still putting him on TV?
Just needs to be the Pick'em segment.
Yes.
Take it down to just the Pick'em segment.
Better than the Bear, whoever that dude is. All right, so sports radio version. Our man Zach Christo behind the glass will give us a sports headline.
Okay.
We swipe right if we want a little bit more information about the story. Swipe left if that is the end of it.
All right.
So, Zach C., what do we got first?
All right, well, I wasn't originally planning to do this story first, but since we're a little bit short on time and I want to hit it, first, there was Watergate. Then you guys, with your NFL, you had Deflategate.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Yep.
And now the soccer world has Piegate. Have you guys heard of this?
Piegate.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So this was a moment. I'm swiping right. I don't know. It's soccer, I'm kind of in a predicament here.
I feel like as much tennis and boxing as we talked, I feel like we shouldn't go this way. But yeah, I'll swipe right.
I like pie.
All right, so here we go. So this was a moment from February back during the FA Cup. So listen to this.
That now is the time to get stuck into a pie, safe in the knowledge that whatever happens, he won't be coming on.
All right, so this is, at the time, he was on the bench. He is a goalkeeper for Sutton United,
mm-hmm.
and this was during the FA Cup. So one of the prop bets during this tournament was, will this guy eat a pie on the sideline? He is a heavy dude.
Okay.
Oh, I remember
Big
this
dude.
Story now.
Wayne Shaw is his name.
He ate the pie, clearly,
this.
Right? That sound
pie,
cut is, okay.
But now they're saying that what he did was against the rules. He has been charged officially by the Football Association with intentionally influencing a football betting market and with
soccer.
Improper
soccer
conduct.
Betting market.
They just got this decision made?
Just came in.
So how do they prove that? Like, how do they prove he knew about maybe just wanted to eat a pie on the sideline?
Right, but I think it's because it's so unique. It's such a unique thing. Why would he do that unless he absolutely knew?
He's a big
knew.
Dude. Like, he's a dude who looks like he could not go 90 minutes without a pie.
Yeah, no, he's a big dude. He is absolutely a big guy. But this is kind of stuff I don't know. Like, I've never understood how they allow the national anthem singer at the Super Bowl to have a betting line on it. Because if I'm that singer, I can affect it.
Yeah.
I could completely affect
it. Well, yeah, you're telling all your friends, yo, bet on the over. I'm going to go long here.
That's all this was to me. I don't know why. The man got kicked out, right? He got kicked off the team and everything.
Yeah, kicked off the team. His quote is my favorite thing, I think, this week. It says, in no way did I put anyone in jeopardy. This is not the case. This is just a bit of fun and me being hungry.
Right.
Me being hungry.
I don't understand. The famous story back in the day from Wimbledon, Bobby Riggs bets on himself to win singles, doubles, and mixed doubles, and then he did it. Well, he was allowed to bet.
Right.
And he's trying to win, and he bet on it. You were able to do it.
We see with Pete Rose, of course, banned from Major League Baseball.
Right.
Because he was betting on his own team.
Yeah. Now, that's different. They painted it on the wall. Right. He wasn't supposed to do it.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
He couldn't do it. That's why he's out.
Man, interesting. I got to find a way to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
Right. Like,
I would never have to work a day of my life ever again.
Right.
We've heard you sing on this show. I don't think you need to be singing the national anthem anywhere.
Yeah,
I don't think you need to be singing it at the Del Diamond, let alone the Super Bowl.
Shouldn't quit my day job is what you're saying.
No.
All right, any other stories we got, Zach?
We can hit this one real quick.
Sure.
You guys following Tim Tebow's baseball career?
Don't want to.
Oh, no, I'm swiping right on that one.
Right.
I love Tim Tebow. He's magical.
Come on, man.
He is a magical human being. I don't know why all you Tim Tebow haters hate him. Please go on, Zach.
Tim Tebow has hit a walk-off home run.
Oh, did you see it?
What, on MVP Baseball 2005 PS2? Greatest game ever?
How dare you? For the St. Lucie Mets, he goes yard, walk-off. The team mobs him at home plate, doused him with an entire bucket of Gatorade.
And then he walked on the Gatorade.
How dare
he? Because he's Jesus.
He did not walk on the Gatorade. He did turn it into wine, but he did not walk on it. But I'm telling you, that for any of you that are cynical and think that these guys don't like Tebow or whatever, they mobbed him like they'd won the World Series. They love the guy because he's magical. He could circumcise their children if he needed to.
It's true.
I love me some
That's
Tebow.
That's the reason why. He can baptize them. He can wed them. He can circumcise them. They want to keep that connect, and they can get it for a discount price.
Dude's living a dream, and people are making fun of him for it. I don't understand.
He says it's the first time he's hit a walk-off homer since his junior year of high school.
You know why people make fun of him for it. He has no business being there. Now, he is on fire. He has an 11-game hit streak also going.
Come on, man.
He's taking jobs away for people who actually deserve it, man.
Stop it. There's tons and tons of positions. If you're good enough, you'll find a spot.
He is going to make the majors, and you know he won't be good enough, but at some point when the Mets are out of it in September, he's going to get called up for a couple ABs to sell tickets. You got to put butts in seats.
Maybe.
Name of the game. All right, Zach.
2,677 fans were out at that game to watch him hit that
That's got to be a
run.
Sellout for
Which I bet
whatever.
Is a high number for them,
St.
right?
St. Lucie, yeah. Where is that? You know where that is?
It's in Florida.
All right.
That's all you need to know. It's Tim Tebow playing in Florida.
Oh, yeah. It's all the Gator fans out there.
Right.
That's
exactly.
All it is. All right. Are we out of stories?
We're out of time, guys. That's dinner time.
There we go. Thank you, Zach, for that. Coming up next, we will try it. We try it every Friday. I know the morning and afternoon shows do it every day and do a much better job than we do. Of course, morning does it better, but that's all right.
Easy.
Our version of the Blitz, the Schvitz, 447-3776. Call it. We'll try it. I don't know if we're sponsored, but at some point we're going to have to get to it. If not, we'll talk some sports. Anyways, coming back, Chad Hastings in for Trey. It's Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn. Welcome back to the show. Midday with Trey and BK. Chad Hastings, nice enough to fill in for Trey. The boner, as he's been so commonly referred to as, we'll be back on Monday.
He loves that name.
He loves that name. Now, Kevin and I were talking about this, and I heard you guys talking about this on, I believe, Wednesday's show, because you were talking about you both filling in for Trey with me next couple of days. You guys said you were going to rip on Trey a little bit while he's out of town. Now, he's been tweeting out videos. I don't think he's listening to the show. Is there anything, and I won't tell Trey about this. I don't know if any of the listeners will. I can't vouch for them. But anything on your mind that you've got to get off your chest a little bit in regards to Trey Elling, your producer?
Not really. I mean, I gave him a little hell because he hashtagged his own vacation.
He did.
But nowadays, I guess that's a normal thing.
I can't accept that.
I've known people that hashtag their wedding, which I guess can make some sense, but he hashtagged like CHI vacation 2017. And I thought, wow, like I'm so old that I don't understand why that needs to happen. So I'll give him a little rip for that and his little video trying to make it look like he fell out of the Sears Tower. Like, dude, just have a vacation. Why are you throwing stuff on social media? Why are you having conversations with people on social media? You're on a vacation with your family. Unplug. Just do it. Put the phone down. Turn the phone off. Don't take it with you. Go to dinner and don't take a phone with you. I do this all the time, Brad. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I will on purpose. I'd say to my wife, you have your phone with you? She says, yes. I leave my phone at the house. I will just go and hang out, looking around the restaurant. I'm people watching. I'm face watching people.
Good for you.
And my kid is probably on her device, and my wife is on her device. But I don't care. I'm talking to him, trying to interrupt him. What game are you playing? What are you doing over there?
Right.
I just want to live it, man.
That's good. You're one of few. And I'm like that, too. Anytime I'm out of dinner with other people, right? A lot of friends.
Right.
It could be 20 people there. Everybody else is on their phone. I'm putting the phone away. It's in my pocket. I'm not leaving it at home.
Yeah.
It's in my pocket. I want to talk to people.
Yeah, what are we doing?
I don't like this thing. I don't like social media a whole lot. I only had this because of the job that I have.
The other night, I go pick up my man Rick Sacamano from the airport.
Sacramento Kings, De'Aaron Fox, solid player.
We go to Cover 3.
Good spot.
He was nice enough to pick up the tab, so I'm excited.
Sweet.
Because I'm cheap. But then he spends half the meal on his phone trying to get Amazon's Prime or Amazon.com to work.
So Prime Day.
Yeah, he was trying to do something for Prime Day. And I'm like, dude, I came and picked you up from the airport. We haven't seen each other in a while. Would you like to converse with me? Let me know how the family's doing. Talk about something. Talk about if we think the waitress is hot. Will you please engage? It was crazy.
Yeah, I'm telling you. 447-3776. Going to keep talking about the Schwitz, and maybe somebody will call. I think we've got one person on the line right now, so we have one listener, Chad.
So work me through this. The Schwitz is your version of the blitz.
Yeah.
It sometimes happens and sometimes it doesn't?
Yeah, it depends on the callers. Now, we've had sponsors recently. It doesn't look like we have one right now, so we may just can this thing if more people don't call. We like to give the people a chance to voice their opinions once a week on our show.
Because my theory on the afternoon blitz is we go square peg, round hole. I will force that thing through no matter what.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I know from listening out there.
There's a little secret for all the people, right? Kevin's not always a big fan of he sometimes likes the afternoon blitz. Trey never likes the afternoon blitz. There was discussions about maybe getting rid of the afternoon blitz.
Oh, maybe. Internal discussions, closed door.
Right, altering, getting rid of, whatever. Because I'm not, you know, I can enjoy it even when it's terrible. But maybe they don't. So I'm like, we'll think about it. But then found out that there's a sponsor coming. So
it stays.
Yeah.
Blitz stays.
Because I said my goal was to get it to the two-year mark for our show, which is August 24th. Kevin and I have been doing the show, this version of the show, for 2 years. So I thought at that point, maybe it will be transitioned. But to all you people that are on the afternoon blitz listening right now, I want you to know the stepdad of the blitz, it's going to stay alive, baby. Thanks to our great sponsors. Thank you to our partners and sponsors out there. In this case, I believe it is the Stellar Audiovisual is doing it. I think Stellar's helping us out to do that. So it's keeping it alive.
Very nice. I'm surprised Trey didn't video that conversation with the hashtag ShyVacation2017 because he's been just putting everything out there.
That's what I'm saying.
Put a little video of his two-year-old daughter topless running around in puddles.
You got to watch that video through the end because you think it's one thing and then it's something else.
It's here. I'll let you hold this, but somehow, some way.
Yeah, you guys have rambled long enough. I think we can hit it.
All right, let's hit it. It's Schwitz time.
It's a Shonda and a Hopper. Fantastic leg and it's able to by the cup and thread. Baruch atah Adonai.
The Schwitz.
Oh, yeah. Some great music, man.
Nice music.
Really takes me back home to the Holy Land. Israel, great country. Not as good as America, though, I'll be honest.
Well, that is a weird video.
Yeah, how about that? What's going on there?
So strange.
Just kidding. Israel's number one.
It's a long way to go to show me a weird wall.
Absolutely. I don't know what's going on. Chicago's a weird place. Yeah. And Trey's a weird dude. All right. First, Schwitzer, you're up.
Hello, Mr. Hastings.
Yes, sir.
Woke up this morning to the morning newspaper and read the Aggies are ranked near dead last in the conference. If you could put in a good word for me, I can guarantee that we can be ranked dead last in a conference. This is Mike Sherman.
You know what, Coach Sherman? The one thing you could bring, we know, is some offensive line talent.
Yep.
And it seems like that might be not dried up yet, but yeah, I'm looking for Jokels and Matthews, and I'm not seeing guaranteed Jokels and Matthews
anymore.
I'm not
sure those dudes translate to the NFL either as much as they should have.
Exactly.
Next, Spitzer, you're up.
Hey, guys, we're a couple weeks away from the most exciting time of the year, Shark Week. This is Jim McElwain.
There you go.
Shark Week.
I saw there's like two different, there's a Shark Week and then another channel's got Shark Fest.
Are you a Shark Week guy?
Not really.
I don't give a damn about it. And
not
I think
really.
There's like six of them a year and we just get played every time.
Lots of sharks going on.
No doubt. Next, Spencer, you're up.
Yeah, I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Marshawn, thank you. We appreciate that, Marshawn. Thank you for the call. Beast Mode. Next, Spencer, you're up.
Hey, BK and Chad.
Chipito.
Hey, what's going on, man? If Buffalo Bucky is a dad and Chad is a stepdad, does that make BK the Sancho of the Blitz?
The Sancho.
The Sancho.
I'm the rabbi of the Schwitz, baby.
The rabbi.
I'm something completely different.
There you go. You are the rabbi of the Blitz making it the Schwitz.
There it is. A couple more. Next, Schwitzer, you're up.
Okay, I don't even know where to start or even know if I have enough time.
Mm.
But you two knuckleheads, not you, Chad Hastings,
uh-oh,
two knuckleheads of this show, you guys need to get your crap together, man. You've been 4 to 5 weeks now. I cannot tell you how many times I have tuned in and you are on a segment or a rant about a whole lot of nothing.
Nope, thanks. Thanks, guy. Mm. Appreciate that. It's not football season, so sports right now is a whole lot of nothing.
I just appreciate you for taking me out of the discussion.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That was great.
Does he not listen to y'all's show?
I was going
to
say.
You guys are Food Network 2.0 some days,
we
man.
We talk about something all the time.
I blame Trey for that. Trey's a bit guy.
Trey's
I just,
fault.
I just follow what he does, man. He's the elder statesman of the show. All right, Lash Schwitzer, you're up.
Hey, first of all, BK, never mind that negative Nelly. You guys are doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I agree.
Chad, it's Blitz Ender Guy. BK wanted to borrow me to end the Schwitz. What do you say?
Let's do it. What do you got?
No, that's it. That's all he's got. Apparently that was it.
Oh,
did he hang up or did you just, or you had enough, Zach?
It's a different ending there. Wow. Yeah, Blitzender guy. I met Blitzender guy out at the draft party this year, NFL
nice.
Draft. It's incredible. Like, sometimes it's really a big compliment if somebody comes out and meets us and says, oh, man, it's great to meet you, and put a face to the name. Usually they're disappointed because I'm unattractive. But to meet him was so cool. He walks up to me, and he gives me the, and that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop. And I was starstruck.
You knew right away.
Yeah, he was perfect. I just said, okay, I looked off in the distance. He gave it to me, and it was fantastic.
Love it. Well, thanks to the Schwitzers for making that a real segment. That is good stuff.
All right. Love that, Brad.
Well, much to the pleasure of the second-to-last Schwitzer right there. We're going to talk some sports on the other side. We're going to get Chad Hastings' opinion on Texas football. I know him and Kevin talked about it, but maybe some of you missed it. Texas being named fourth, I should say, being picked to finish fourth in the Big 12 Conference. The preseason media poll has been released. Also, Chad's thoughts on the five Longhorns selected to the preseason All-Big 12 team. And hey, it's Texas football, man. We could talk about it. We don't need an excuse, but we've got a couple this week. Coming up next, it's Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn.